Let's stand together, please, and sing Alleluia. Christ arose. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Son of man and angels say, Alleluia. Praise your Lord and your God's
Sing this next verse in unison together.
Oh,
Continue singing with us. Come behold the wondrous mystery.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. Be the theme of heaven's praises, don't be frail and in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended.
The words of John from John chapter 20. Starting in verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Then, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Would you stand together and sing the last verse of that song, "Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery"?
Come behold the wondrous mystery. But no grave could e'er restrain him. Praise the Lord.
Great. Thanks so much. So good to see you here today on this Easter Sunday. What a delight it is to remember the Lord's resurrection. So great to have you here. You may be a guest with us for the first time, and I just wanted to mention, if that's the case, just some things about what to do as you gather with us today, if you'd like. There are some guest cards that we hand out, some Connect type cards. If you'd like to fill one of those out, let us know you've been here today. It's always a joy to be able to help and encourage you if we can, and give that back to there. And you can leave it in that little slot in the chair in front of you, or you can give it to one of our ushers or our greeters along the way. But so glad to have you. Or, you know, we do have a website and connect with that. Some opportunities to kind of follow us in live stream as we're doing some of that as a church. So you can connect that way. If you came to give an offering, and that's not a requirement at all, just sometimes an act of worship, and people enjoy that. We do have a physical way to do that here with this little offering plate up front, and you're welcome to do that, or there is a means to do that online, of course. But again, we're not asking for that here today, but if you did look for that, at least that's one of the odd things that have developed since COVID, I think. We've kind of got it that way right now, so if you'd like to come and do that, you can. I wanted to highlight just a few announcements for some of these coming days. And if you want to follow along, we've got a few slides. We do have a work day this next Saturday, the 26th, starting at 8:45 for donuts. You don't want to miss that. Now, I think the work day starts about 9, but love to have you stop in. I think we've got plenty of rakes and shovels. We just need people on the end of those, as Gordon said, just people to man those or women those rakes and shovels. But we're going to do just some putting around with some mulch and some areas, dressing up the property a little bit and some things like that. So if you can come and help that day, the 26th, that would be great. You'd be certainly an encouragement to us. Next Sunday, we have a baptism service. We have four individuals who are following the Lord in obedience to baptism. What a joy that's going to be. And we always look forward to those. The way that models one of the ordinances of the church that shares that great message of our identity with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to bring at the end of the service some to you just who have come for membership and baptism. We, as church, recommend them to you, and you participate by your vote of encouragement, and we'll do that just at the very end before we leave this morning. I would maybe just mention this is more business kind of thing, but next Sunday after the morning service, we'll give just a little break, but I think we'd like to take about 10 minutes and just have an update on our quarterly business. We usually try to do that in that last Sunday in April. We'll see if we can work that in, but we've got a full morning, so we'll see how that goes with the baptism and all, but we'll do that. We're excited for those being baptized coming up here. Maybe that's all the announcements we'll mention. I did want to say that we've been speaking this morning, both in the sunrise time, about the women who were at the open tomb, and we were looking at Thomas today from the Gospel of John. And I thought I would just offer these. I bought four copies of each. It's not a lot, but if you would like one of these are books that just talk a little bit about aspects of Christ as person, maybe a little broader gamut of who he was and his deity and so forth, from a little book called More Than a Carpenter. This was originally written by Josh McDowell. I think his son, Sean, who is serving as a teacher in apologetics, I think he's the head of that department at Talbot Seminary, is following in his dad's footsteps. But that book is available if you'd like. Maybe you're searching, maybe you are a skeptic, maybe you just kind of had some doubts, it's a neat little book to kind of bring up some of those things, kind of an apologetics, evidential kind of level. The other thing is, somebody put me onto this book this year. I was actually an evangelist who's been used of the Lord through many, many years, Larry Moyer and his ministry, Vivantel. And I was on the phone with him. I talked with him recently, and he said, you know, one of the neat little things you can do with people who are searching is share this book with them. And so I've picked up a copy. I'm reading through it, listening through it some, but it's called Who Moved the Stone? It's by Frank Morrison. It was written in 1930, so it has a little bit of a wordy style to it, but it really just focuses on those days and hours before Christ's death and then the resurrection, and looks at it almost like a detective. The story is told that Frank set out to disprove, to speak against those things and say, I'm going to write this to disprove the person of Christ and resurrection and those events. And in the end, he ended up turning to Christ, becoming a believer and writing this. You're welcome. I think I have two more copies of each in the back. I'll put these back there. Maybe somebody can grab this from me and take them back. Ben, could you do that for me? Thank you. I just put these back there. You're welcome as a guest and visitor. I think for adults, teens, certainly young adults in that. Children, if you're interested in something like that, ask your parents. But if we run out of those and you really would like one, I'd be glad to buy it for you and send it to you if you'd like. And we'll leave a sheet of paper in the back there, too, if you want to leave your name and do that. As a guest, a friend, maybe just you're facing some questions about those things. These are two neat little books that I think can be an encouragement to you. And you're welcome to have them from us, from me, this morning. So, all right. Thank you for the good songs this morning. Wasn't it wonderful to hear the choir belt that song out? I love that. That was so good, choir. Thank you for that. And such a joy to hear those good thoughts and song this morning. And if you've got any questions for us, if you ever want to talk, meet with me. Certainly, I've got my own business card in the back, church card, if you'd like to take that. If you ever want to call, talk about spiritual things and these things, let me know. I'll be glad to do that with you. Now we come to really one of the great, great examples and evidences of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the Lord speaking to and talking to Thomas. What do we normally think of when we think of Thomas? Doubting Thomas. And I think this is probably what set it off. Probably especially this, you know, Thomas, as we will see, had some history and good history. But he is that, if we think of that word doubting, sometimes we use that word, maybe that's different than skeptic, maybe that's different than just doubting. I mentioned this morning that probably all of us at times in our life move through phases of doubt. Sometimes you read something and it just puts a pebble in your shoe and you're thinking, why does it say that? Have I believed something that's wrong? And it's enough of that kind of stuff being thrown at us that maybe have made you doubt your relationship to the Lord and your faith and the reality of God even. And some of those statements are just blanket statements people are making. They kind of throw you for a loop, at least when you hear them. The doubt sometimes, the skepticism that's present in our world. And I say that humbly to you. I don't say that looking down my nose. I don't say that in a way that I'm better than you or not. It's not at all that. We need to respect that journey in people's lives sometimes and be willing to encourage and help, I think, along the way, and talk, to be able to accept our own humility of sinfulness and Christ's grace to us. And so in a sense, if you're here, skeptics, welcome. Doubters, welcome. It's okay. Sometimes we go through those things. But one of the great supports and evidences of the reality of Christ's resurrection are his visits or his being seen, and we'll call them the witnesses along the way who saw Christ after his resurrection. There are a bunch of them, you know, and Scripture lists quite a few, and Thomas is one of these kind of unique ones. He just, one of the apostles, and sometimes he's known as Didymus, or that name of twin, sometimes it's translated that way in your Bibles, but that's another name he kind of is known for. But Thomas was noted in John 11 when Christ was going to go to Jerusalem, and they were afraid he's going to be troubled there. There had been some persecution there already, and Thomas said something like, well, we'll go and die with you. And you can interpret that depending on the tone of voice. You may say, oh, okay, we'll go and die with you. But some have said, well, he was really a brave guy. He really stood with the Lord. We'll go and die with you if that's the case. So maybe Thomas gets a little bit of a bad rap or name or whatever for his. But you know, where's another passage? Remember a key one, John 14, and Jesus is talking about in those last hours before his death about the comfort of heaven and the glory of his coming back and all of that, and. Remember what Thomas asks? I don't know the way. How do we know the way? You know, he wants more information. That's okay, isn't it? Really, I don't know that that's doubting. We need a guy like that sometimes to say, hey, what's the question? How do we get there? And the Lord has used that, hasn't he? Because the Lord turns around and he says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through or by me. And so we have that delightful ending, and God used Thomas there. We see him again down at the end of John 21. He's there in that gathering. But we come to a unique setting of this in John 20. If you've got your Bibles, take your time and get to that text with me. And we'll look at that here to get together. I have put up on our service the page number of that 533. I think that little 3 is way off to the edge there. 533. And you're welcome to use the Pew Bible. There's Bibles under the chairs. If you look, there's a hymn book that's blue and a Bible that's black. And you can kind of look down to find one of those and pull it out. They're not always easy to get to and see. But if you need a Bible, we'd be glad to get you one and make sure you have one. But there are some of those along the way there. And it's page 533 is John 20, I believe. Is that somebody maybe double check that for me and make sure. But I think that might be a John 20. I had so many of these New Testament passages on my mind, I was getting them confused. We had a Good Friday service, and we had a early service this morning, sunrise, and then this one today. That looked like the right page, 533. Anybody want to confirm that? You got it? Looks like maybe it's right. Okay, well, if not, John 20, find it in the Gospels there. As we look at this then, let's look at kind of this walk of Thomas through this. And I would say one of the first things we see here about this is that he, as well as you and I, may have certain doubts about Jesus, about the resurrection of Christ. Imagine now, just following this has only been a matter of days. The apostles had met with Jesus that evening or the evening before this meeting, a week before this meeting. They had met to gathered, and Jesus was there. If you remember, that's in John 20, verse 19 through 23. If you kind of look back there, you'll see it. And again, Jesus just became present there. It's one of those miraculous presence events of the Lord, and is wishing them peace. And he shows them his hands and his side. He commissions them there, but Thomas was not there. And some think, well, maybe Thomas was just wayward, and maybe he was discouraged, and his belief was struggling even there. And so he was kind of off, away from that meeting. And as we kind of track with the event of this, you see that they were telling then Thomas, hey, we saw the Lord, and you kind of missed out on that. And he begins learning of that event. And because of that, he says, you know what? He says, and these strong words, I'll read them here in a minute. Unless I see the hands and the side and touch, he actually says there, to touch his wounds, to touch the hands, to touch the side with my hands, I will not believe. So he certainly is looking for proofs, you know. Now we're going to see later on that the Lord commends those who don't have that much evidence, but believe anyway, believe what's happened. But we've probably all felt that way to some degree. We want more of a proof. And certainly Thomas, I don't necessarily like to commend that, because he almost fits in with that Jewish mindedness of always looking for a sign and a further proof. And in some ways, we don't have those exact proofs, especially if you don't accept the inspiration of scriptures. We have to look at it through certain evidences and certain things that happen. And those evidences become clues, and those clues certainly add up to an understanding of the weight of the validity of the cross and the resurrection and all of that. I think that's true about God as well. Many of the clues about God, we can read some of those hints and looks at scripture of why he's there, but we can also even just argue for and provide clues and reasons why God is the best answer for things that are happening and have happened and will happen, I think, as we look at them. I think the very element of Christianity, and I think even the belief about that kind of God, is the best final answer that we can come to as we look at these things. Somebody said this, and I've liked this in a way. As you listen into the things of God and the things of the Lord, sometimes, this person has said, as you kind of move toward God, and you're not so much through resurrection, but even toward a belief in God, he said this, that it often takes as much faith to disbelieve as it does to believe. That's starting kind of on the low rung of the ladder. Both are based on a certain faith and reason. And it really takes faith to believe both. He would say a second rung on the ladder up, as you move toward the things of God, is to say, as you really look at this, it takes more of a leap of faith to disbelieve than it does to believe. And as you begin to look at Scripture, you begin to look even beyond Scripture, just some of those great reasons behind and clues toward a real God who's operative and active in this world, in justice and love, it almost takes more faith to disbelieve than it does just to believe that the answer of God is there. And he went on to say that, third of all, as you are coming to understand those good reasons, those reasons that are there, those clues, those adding up body of clues, that there needs to be a time of just even committing to what's there, to be able to say, I'm going to rest and look to that as my hope and begin to aim toward that. He uses the illustration of falling off a cliff. And as you're falling, you say, okay, I can trust my faith, my disbelief. But as I'm thinking of these elements of faith and belief, there's a branch that stands out, and it's that hope and that trust and that point of faith, he says. To climb the ladder is both to understand that it takes just as much, it takes more of a leap of faith even to disbelieve, but to say, I will ultimately then commit, grab the branch. You know what I mean? Grab the branch. It's there. God's clues are there. Those evidences are there. Now, as we look at Thomas, the evidences of the resurrection are gigantic. As you begin to look at them and compare things and where people have pushed back, the evidences of a real miracle, miracle of Christ's resurrection. So we come to this event of Thomas, and it's one of those great, great pieces that just helps us understand the person of God and the nature of Christ and the real resurrection that happened. So, number one, we might have doubts. First point here this morning. You may have doubts along the way about the resurrection of Jesus and about his person. Let me just see if I can bring those up here. Oh, there we go. Okay. You may have doubts about the resurrection of Jesus. In verses 24 and 25, look at those with me very quickly here. Verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, or Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. And at this point, you know, this was so developing. We looked at the reticence of the apostles and just following the word of the ladies from the tomb. This is the first visit in verse 19 took place the night of the day of the resurrection. It's kind of cool, isn't it? First visit of the Lord, and he showed him his hands and his side. By the way, and I think it's worth mentioning here, and many of you know this, that Sunday itself is the day of resurrection. It is that day that became emphasized even on into the New Testament church. It's the Lord's day. It's the day of gathering. It's the day when we remember every Sunday is a resurrection kind of meeting, isn't it? Remember the resurrection. It's rooted back in that time frame, the day. And they gathered at night on that day. There's some history to say that even the church may have begun to meet at night, first of all. Now, maybe that's a way we could say that's a reason for why we have an evening service, but it may not prescribe that necessarily. Maybe that the first time they began to meet was really on evenings in representation of that gathering, even that night, for the coming of the Lord and the beauty of that. But this second meeting was a week later. And when was it? 8 days, and they would count the Sunday on that. 8 days followed another Sunday, and there he is again on that day. Therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of his nails, the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples went again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Jesus there again shows up in that space, bypassing locked doors, was there present with them. This glorified Christ in this setting, the connection of his wounds to a real person, to a real death, to a real resurrection, all of that connected and coinciding here. Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Yikes. Would you want to do that? Now, maybe that would prove the point, but that's pretty intimate, isn't it? In visitation in hospitals, I don't do quite as much of that the way hospital things are being done, and probably getting back to more of that. But for some reason, people always want to show me their scars. I don't know why that is. and they want to put them on Facebook, and they'll start to show me and say, let me show you what they did, you know, and they're pulling the bed thing back, and they got this big wound on their leg, you know, where they fixed a kneecap or something, and I'm like, okay, all right. I think sometimes it's our battle scars. Some days we're kind of proud of that, you know, and we go through those kinds of things. But can you imagine the intimacy of that? I think the personal side of this, Jesus says, I'm open, touch me, you know. 1 John, what is it, 1:1, they said, we handled him. I don't know what that would have meant. Can you imagine being with the Lord and maybe embracing him in a hug of grabbing his hand as he pulled you into the boat, and maybe Peter when he was sinking, you know, and they touched the Lord. They handled his body. They knew him. Watched him in travel. Watched him in sleep. Watched him waking up as breakfast was being made. And Thomas, just, we respect his heart in this, but he says, I want to see him. I want to touch those spots. And I'm not sure that it says he ever did, you know, but Jesus certainly offered it. He says, you can touch my hands. You can touch him. Touch my side. I don't know how healed those wounds were. Maybe in his glorified state, they were already just dents or scars or tissue was affected, but he bore those marks. You know, the evidence, that's great evidence, isn't it? The evidences of Christ's appearances. It's almost unstoppable. They cannot be fabricated. You can go back and ask some of those people that are alive. They can tell you they saw him. They saw him. And there's hardly any way to get around that when it comes to the value of the resurrected Lord. And in that moment, you know, kind of sorting through all of that, Thomas, in this situation here, investigating what's going on, I would just say, number two, investigate the evidence. As we come to those verses, I kind of got ahead in reading them and explaining them, and investigate the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. Investigate it. I said it this morning, and I would say it again. One of my concerns is for people who have set the Lord aside, who have become comfortable without doing anything, who maybe have believed some of those pushbacks about God and evil, allowing hell, creation, pushed back and said, I can't connect faith with reason. Somehow they've just pushed it back. Maybe not that at all. Maybe they just have not had time for the Lord in most of their upbringing. That happens today. People just are nothing. A little flavor of Christianity, maybe here or there. And I, as I say, I'm not trying to speak in a way that is sarcastic or mean. But I would say you have to at least appreciate Thomas, who says, I'm willing to investigate this. You know, I'm willing to push in. And I would encourage you this morning, if you're on the, maybe on the edge, and maybe you're walking a balance between faith and not, and you're struggling with some of the questions, I would say, get your head in it, investigate, look at it. There's, even in the doing of that, the great arguments against God do not really stand up well they really don't stand when it comes to understanding there is a God and a true God who's active in this way. It's the best response. Christianity, in its end, it is the best response to a world that is failing, that a world is in ruin and out of control and a mess. It's not framed up by and helped by a naturalistic view. The things of the God are there, and they are the answers to hope. And I would say investigate. And Thomas stands there in the presence of the Lord Jesus, body to body. Jesus says, look, here are my hands. Here's my side. Put your fingers there. It's me. What will you do? What does Jesus say to him there? And I would plead this with you as well this morning. What does he say to him there? At the very end of verse 27, do not be unbelieving, but believing. And I would say that to you all here this morning. Stand in the very presence of the Lord and in His Word. Watch the great miracle of what He did for us. The Christianity offers the great message that God Himself became our Savior and entered this world to die for us. That's not true of any other religious form, any other answer. Christ is that answer. He is that one who defeated sin. And standing there face to face with Thomas, oh, Thomas, and I would plead with you as well here today, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Grab the tree on the side of that cliff as you start to fall, as you trust your own faith. Fall and grab a hold of the answers of the Word of God and the example of the Lord Jesus, the evidences that are truly there that point to Him. Find hope and hope alone in Him, will you? Today. And sweetly, in this third point here this morning, we have the response of Thomas. Believe in the resurrection and Jesus and His person. Believe in the resurrection. What does Thomas say? And I can't even vocalize this the way that would happen, but can you imagine in this moment as Thomas is there and Jesus says, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Here I am. And Thomas says what? And this is to be kind of emphasized and exclaimed, and it's got that word my in it. They are both nouns of what they call a vocative type case. It gives height and intensity and passion to the words. You can almost just hear Thomas say this, my Lord and my God. That moment of doubt and searching was so solid for him there. Amen? My Lord. Oh, the Christ of God of deity, the one, the Lord of this, as we will see in Philippians, His great name, Lord and God, He is deity, He is the Lord God. And in heart, maybe on his knees, bows to Him in that moment, believing. Isn't that sweet? Christ piggybacks on this in a way, and the words of this account, I think, are important for us, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it here, but listen to what He says following up, and I think it helps wrap up and give purpose and meaning to this very ending of this. It's part of this text. You've got Thomas's response here verse 28, my Lord and my God. And he said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That is true, isn't it? Special blessing to those who would look at the evidence, that would look at what the Bible has said, and we'll see that here. Look at what nature itself has pointed to. Look at the conviction of your own heart. Look at the needs that are going on. Look at the fact that God is there. Blessed are those who have not seen what you've seen here today, but believed. And he said, and in a way, if you follow along with the thought, follow along with the rest of those verses with me. And I think the word therefore is good in verse 30. Therefore, truly, Jesus did many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not even written in this book. But what? Verse 31, but these are written that you may believe. The very purpose of John, the very purpose statement of John, these great messages, these great texts on belief, these great messages on the Word and the importance of the Word, the Word that has been written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing, you may have what? Life in His name. You may have eternal life. He's the answer to wholeness and completeness and salvation and real life, eternal life, and hope of salvation to come. He's that answer. I wonder this morning, have you believed? Have you trusted? Have you looked, even as we have the opportunity, to look to the evidences of His Word? And have you believed? I had spent some time last Sunday just talking about that word believe, and it's here again, an important one for us today. But to understand, it involves often a kind of a thought process as we gather our information about the Lord and about what He's done. Do you understand that he is the Son of God, that he is the Lord? I think that's important, part of what's being said here. Isn't that true? He was deity and is deity, Jesus himself. Do you believe he is that person? Do you believe he truly died for you and rose again? Those two great pieces, but both of them have massive, massive results. The death, the sacrifice, the forgiveness of sin, the payment that was made, and that he was raised, that he rose from the dead physically, bodily, is alive. And in doing that, he assured us of life and future life and eternal life and resurrection life and the hope of all of that. That whole act impacted not only the individual but the world to come. Defeat of sin and the defeat of death and the hope of life are great, great truths that Christ brings about in his person and in us. To understand some of those things, I know when we're saved sometimes we didn't understand all of that, but to understand that we can't save ourselves by our own righteousness. You know that, don't you? Well, you can't save that yourself by your own works. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. That verse speaks to that idea. There's none of us that are right enough to gain that position, to gain heaven to come. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of what? Do you remember? Works, lest any man should boast. That faith, that situation. We are not there by our deeds and our works. And you may be a kind person. You may be benevolent. You may be as kind as us in ways, but without trust and faith in the Lord Jesus and his resurrection, you don't have enough. You don't have the gospel yet. There's a kind of a movement on today for people who are unbelieving, sometimes it's coming out of atheism, who are believing in what they're calling cultural Christianity. They value it and appreciate it. But they haven't believed in Christ and in resurrection of Christ. And the problem is that they don't have the heart of it, the heart of the gospel. They don't believe in him. But they like the ideas of cultural Christianity. It's coming out of some writings even today. But the problem is that in our humanity, if we have no spiritual dynamic, if we're simply materialists, we have no real frame for morality or moral obligation. Nothing is there. How do we decide what's good? And so we're in a condition now where we have great need. We are unrighteous. We are sinners. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. What do we do? What's our hope? God came in his person, lovingly entered this world to save us, all a part of his good plan. And now, at Easter time, we listen in to the scriptures of the passion and the suffering and the distancing by God from him and the suffering that went through to pay this great debt of sin, and he did it for us, how he loved us. God became man. To understand these things is important. Get some of these facts in. To say, yes, I think it's true, Pastor. I think those things are probably true. I've kind of grown up with those things. I've kind of always known some of those things. Maybe. That can fall short if you're not careful. Kind of a general acceptance of them. I think there's a third piece to this. Not only understanding and maybe accepting them, but to where we third of all say, I want it as mine, and I am grabbing the branch on the way down. I am trusting what Christ has done. I am believing in him and resting in him. And old Thomas came to a critical point in his life, didn't he? I would just say today, if you've not taken that step of faith, and all to say before the Lord in your own heart, I kind of led in a little bit of a prayer last week. I'd be glad to even do that again. Maybe you're here and you've never come to that point of just acknowledging it, of trusting him, of taking that step and doing that. And I've used this little, kind of a little simple statement. It's not the prayer that saves us. It's not that we said the prayer, but something that rises up out of our own belief. That belief's already there. Do you believe those things in Jesus, who he is? That he died and rose again, that he can save you today, that he's the Lord? Certainly those elements, those great, great pieces of the gospel. But to say something like this to him, and maybe you just in your own heart, maybe with your eyes, head bowed, you don't want to embarrass anybody, but just to say something along this line. And I've used this from time to time with others, but dear God, I know I am a sinner. Do you accept that today? I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe Christ died for me and rose from the grave. I trust Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness and everlasting life I now have in Jesus' name. Amen. And maybe you can take that step. There are some of these tracts in the back, a little short stack. They're very small. If you wanted to pick one of those up on the way out, you're welcome to do that as well. And at the very back of this little tract, it's called May I Ask You a Question, is this little response to God and belief in Him and the doing of that. Great truth, great help. Easter, what a great day to believe and trust in Him. Thank you for your patience here this morning and listening in. Again, my humility to be able to say these, what God does for us is all of Him. It's all of what Jesus can do and help. I know there's those battles going on sometimes in our thinking, and sometimes the things that have pushed back in our life. There are things that have affected us. Some of them are intellectual. Some of them are personal. Things happened in your life that's hurt you, made you feel bad about the things of God. Some of these things are social. They're not a part of the group we run with. All these things may have pushed us back a little bit, but believe, trust Him today, will you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good word, the good response, the amazing, in a sense, evidential proof, but a biblical one, of Christ standing in the very presence of one of His apostles, standing as the crucified one, alive, sharing His wounds, being willing to be handled, but especially now this morning to be believed. We pray that each one will have taken those steps. I pray for each individual here today about their own faith, for each of us to again be renewed in our confidence for Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Kevin, can I just insert this membership vote and then we'll stand and really let loose? How about it? One of the great joys of the ministry is just when people want to be baptized and join. And we've had a number that we've already brought to you. And three of our young people, though, are going to follow that process and to have expressed their faith in Jesus Christ and their desire to be baptized. And we will do that next week. Just thinking about order here. Maybe we can start with the youngest to the oldest. Would you guys mind coming up? Only because these are three of our own young people, and it's really sweet. It's wonderful to acknowledge them. Some of them are serving the Lord in the church already. Abby, would you mind coming? Oh, I'm sorry. Just, would you rather not? It's okay. All right. Matthew, would you mind coming? Thank you. And Ben, is he here? There he is. All right. I'm still trying to work out how I'm going to baptize Ben. He's so tall. Don't be surprised if I have him kneel down. And then I, come on up, man. Come on up, you guys, will you? Thank you so much. And Abby's come for giving testimony of her faith in Jesus Christ and wants to be baptized. And we have a motion to receive Abby as a member. Ben Burnett, who's worked with him so faithfully and part of his family in a lot of ways. Amy? Yes, thank you, Amy, back there, for Abby. For membership, and just pending that act of baptism, but baptism as well in that. All those in favor signify by saying amen.
Amen.
Opposed, aye, which we add in just for the sake of that. Matthew, so great to have you. These are two of our key people in our AV right now, in our IT, and helping with our live stream, and you guys are a great blessing. Thank you for that. Matthew, thank you for all you do, the clicking you do and the way you stay involved, engaged in the ministry. But Matthew's given testimony to his faith in Christ and desire to be baptism as well. Do we have support for that recommendation from our deacons as well, for Matthew Knox, Ellie Anderson, and just someone else from our team? Dawn Niedermeyer, wave your hand back there. All right, wonderful. And again, all those in favor signify by saying amen.
Amen.
Opposed, aye. Okay. We have one more, and that's Ben. Big Ben here. And it's been a joy to work with Ben as well. And Ben will be involved at camp this next summer. He's had a number of summers there in ministry. And that's meant a lot to him as the Lord has used him there. And keep praying for him and in his plans and all of that. But as we talked about his faith, as well as his desire to be baptized, he came to me not too long and said, I should take care of this and do this. And that, Ben, thank you for that. So deacons are recommending his membership and baptism. We have support for Ben in this act. We've got looking around for hands. Yes, Phil Knox. We have another, if I can remember all your names, Gordon Niedermeyer. All right. All those in favor signify by saying amen.
Amen.
All right. Opposed, same sign. We welcome you guys and thank you. Thank you. You're a delight to have in our church. We love you. Ben as well. Thank you. You're right here. I can shake your hand. They're over there. All right. You guys can go sit down if you want. Thank you. And then we'll close with a song. Thank you, Kevin. Come and lead us, will you?
Stand, please. We'll sing together.